This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about asking for help. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. GoFundMe is a really popular website for people to ask for help, for example, with medical expenses. And when a campaign is successful, it can bring a warm rain of money to people in need. But for some, that influx of cash can have unintended consequences. Nicole Curry has this story of one woman's request for help that took an unexpected turn.
Patrice Jetter landed her dream job about 30 years ago.
I first became a crossing guard in 1993.
It was a long-awaited opportunity. She had applied for this position more than a dozen times.
So every time I applied for the job, the ad in the newspaper said, "No experience necessary, we'll train," and I was always turned down due to lack of experience.
She felt like there was something else at play. Patrice is disabled. She was diagnosed with mild cerebral palsy in elementary school, and she had epileptic seizures as a child. Patrice wears two leg braces and uses a crutch to get around. She still has some neurological issues, but she's been seizure-free since 1991. She knew that she had some limitations in life, but none that would interfere with the job.
So what I did the following year, took the interview again. We had just got a newly appointed mayor, and I wrote him a letter. I said, "I can't prove that I'm being discriminated against, but I can prove that I'm being treated unfairly." When he got that letter, a month later, I got a letter in the mail about a pre-employment physical exam. So if I passed the physical, they had to give me the job. And sure enough, I passed the physical and I got the job.
Soon, Patrice was reporting for duty in Montclair, New Jersey. She remembers her first day fondly.
I walked into the police station with the biggest smile ever. And the officer was like, "You're lucky we have a place to put you." And I'm like, "Yes, I am." And so he gave me my stop sign, my vest and my whistle, and I thanked him. And I went out there.
Patrice has since moved to Hamilton, New Jersey, and she uses a handicap van with modifications like hand controls to drive to work. It's a lot easier for her to operate. Her insurance doesn't cover these types of vans, and she can't afford one on her own with her part-time job. So she has depended on donated vans from organizations that help people with disabilities.
But a lot of times when you get vans that are donated, they're very old and they spend a lot of time in the shop.
In 2015, she had an especially beat up old van that needed a part that was no longer being manufactured. It seemed like Patrice would have to get rid of the van and wait for another donation. But instead, her friend suggested that she start a GoFundMe, just like millions of other people in need. Ask the world to help her buy a van so that she could get to work and keep her beloved job. Patrice hated the idea.
That to me sounded like begging, and I hated having to do that. I remember when we were kids, you were never allowed to just ask people for money. I made that mistake a couple of times. I guess when you're with your friends and you ask them if you could borrow a quarter or something for a snack and they give it to you, but then you have to pay the loan back, which meant that I would have to ask my mom for a quarter and she'd want to know what for. As soon as I said I borrowed a quarter from my friend, she got really mad and started yelling and saying, "Didn't I tell you you're not supposed to borrow money from anybody? That's begging."
But she was really out of options. Her friends helped craft the message. She wrote about why she needed the van and included little details about her life, like being a Special Olympics cheerleader and being a master at building Lego constructed worlds in her living room. Her story inspired people, and the money she needed to buy a used van rolled in pretty quickly.
I was thankful that my friends helped me and I let them know that I appreciated it. I even made sure that all those friends that donated, I actually mailed individual thank you cards to them.
But soon after Patrice mailed out those thank you cards, she received a few letters herself. The first was from the state of New Jersey.
They sent me a letter in the mail that they had removed me off the rental assistance program because I had $6,000 in assets that I didn't report, but they didn't say what the $6,000, what the source was. So I had to think, what are they talking about? And then when I began thinking, I'm like, oh man, it was the GoFundMe.
Patrice gets assistance from the state to pay her rent as part of a program to assist low-income residents or people with disabilities. Now, the state had taken away that monthly assistance, but that wasn't all. Another letter came, this one about Medicaid, which covers Patrice's health care. Medicaid is based on a person's monthly assets, and at that moment, the money from her GoFundMe was technically counted as income.
I didn't know that I had to report a GoFundMe to them because a lot of people who are on fixed incomes were using GoFundMe to get handicap vans, to pay medical bills, and to do that to people that have nothing, it just makes you feel like so dejected, where there's very few programs out here to help a person like myself, and they treat you like you're stealing from government when you're just trying to help yourself stay afloat.
Patrice panicked. She explained everything to her donors, and they gave her their blessing to use the money to help pay for her newly adjusted rent. Eventually, after several months, she got the rental assistance back and her Medicaid. But the issue that had started this whole chain reaction was still unresolved. Without a functioning handicap van, Patrice was forced to resign as a crossing guard. Patrice's dilemma is not unusual, and it's not a new issue.
This has been a problem long before GoFundMe. GoFundMe just intensified it.
This is Steve Dale, an attorney and founder of the Dale Law Firm in Pacheco, California. He's been helping people in similar situations as Patrice for 30 years.
In the old days when they had these newspaper things, you know, you'd read in the paper about some tragedy or something. And then if you'd like to make a donation, make the donation to this account in Wells Fargo or whatever. And there's a really good chance that's going to end up on my table.
Steve says some public assistance programs are based on income, assets. For example, people with Medicaid cannot have more than $2,000 in assets to remain in the program. It's supposed to ensure that the money goes to people who truly need it, but these kinds of rules have prevented many people from saving money to transition out of the system or accept needed monetary gifts for unexpected bills or expenses. Steve says there are a few options for people who still need to fundraise. For example, to store donated money in an ABLE account. It's an account that allows people with disabilities to save up to $18,000 per year. That could solve the issue for some, but to qualify, you must be disabled before the age of 26. So he says it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. The other option is more of a workaround. Programs like Medicaid measure assets every 30 days. Steve suggests spending any gifts or donations before the calendar month is over. But he also says that quick turnaround is not possible for everyone. Working around the system is time-consuming, and it stops many people from even trying to raise money. The risk of losing public assistance is just too great. There are efforts to reform the system to allow people to receive donations and gifts, but in the meantime, organizations are stepping in, like one called Help Hope Live.
We are the experts in medical fundraising.
This is Kelly Green, the executive director of the organization. Help Hope Live is a crowdfunding platform, similar to GoFundMe, but limited to a specific mission. They help people pay medical bills after major illnesses or injuries or organ transplants. They help with the fundraising itself, everything from organizing events to getting media coverage. They also verify a client's medical condition to reassure donors that their contributions are supporting the intended cause. And most importantly, for people like Patrice, they pay the client's bills directly.
That means we're purchasing equipment, we're paying for services, we're paying for copays, deductibles, medication, caregiving, all of these expenses. And we only pay bills.
Kelly says this avoids future issues with Medicaid or rental assistance programs.
Many families come to us and they have an active GoFundMe. And they say things like, can we transfer our GoFundMe money to you? Because we just found out that we're going to lose Medicaid if I accept this bank transfer.
Help Hope Live has been around for 40 years. But the fact that it serves as a financial middleman of sorts between donors and patients means its own status as a charitable organization comes under heavy scrutiny.
This is a really difficult charitable status to maintain. We are audited, and our audits are extreme. They are months of time taken to go through all of our books and all of our expenditures.
But Kelly says it's worth it to help people, people like Patrice Jetter. Patrice turned to Help Hope Live a few years later after her GoFundMe fiasco. And in just 1 year, the organization helped Patrice raise $60,000 to purchase a handicap van.
And what I like is that I have enough leg room. I can adjust the seat.
The van is decked out in hot pink accessories. She even has a set of pink dice hanging from her rearview mirror.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Because pink is my favorite color, and Ted got me the dice.
Since having the van, Patrice was able to get her job back and regain some independence. And she's found ways to pay it forward ever since.
Now that I have my van, I can help other people. I can do more. Like one of my friends, she has Williams syndrome and she's a big Swiftie. And I never forget that she was so upset because she wanted to see the Taylor Swift concert at the Meadowlands. And her mom said, no way am I paying $8,000 for tickets to go to the concert. So when it came to the movie theater, it became a girls' day out where both of us went to the movie, had lunch at PJ's Pancake House. She was so happy. And because I had the car, her mom didn't have to, like, drive both of us.
That story was reported by Nicole Curry.